This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's not often that Australians would take much notice of a band who won the Eurovision Song Contest. The exception, of course, is ABBA. The Swedish band had their breakthrough hit with Waterloo in 1974 and went on to become hugely popular and influential here. Well, the ABBA World exhibition at the Powerhouse is well underway for the summer holiday season. Jonathan Parsons is the curator of the exhibition. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Haven't you got a fun job?
Yeah, it's not a bad job, is it?
Did you know much about ABBA before you started working on this exhibition?
Well, I did actually go to the concert as a 12-year-old in Melbourne at the My Music Bowl.
So wow.
I am one of the, what was it? It was something like 130,000 Australians that actually went to see them live when they did that amazing tour in 77.
Oh, that's amazing. Your life has come full circle.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what time period does this exhibition cover then?
Well, it looks at ABBA before they were ABBA, because okay. All of them actually had significant careers in Sweden before they came together as the group. And then we look at the phenomenal success of the band itself, and then there's a section towards the end of the exhibition that looks at what each of the members have done after the group went their separate ways, and also mm-hmm. their legacy in the broader, music culture.
Mm-hmm. So do you have some mementos from the ABBA visit to Australia in 1977?
I don't actually, but a friend of mine did give me, there was so much merchandising that was available at the time, but about 10 years ago actually gave me this medallion, which has found its way into the exhibition.
Uh-huh.
Because, they were really quite at the forefront of a whole range of things, from concert production values, but also they were really developing skills around sort of merchandising and marketing that we see, bands pick up in the 80s and 90s and certainly in Australia for those that were around at the time. It was blanket marketing, really.
How much influence would you say that ABBA kind of had over Australian popular culture, from that time onwards?
I think what's interesting is they were groundbreaking in a range of ways. They were groundbreaking in their concert production, as I just mentioned, but also in the craft of their pop songs and the production values. But I think you can tell that there was a real impact culturally in Australia by the way that there's a legacy from their music, if you like. And you see it, re-emerging really strongly in the 90s with films like Muriel's Wedding and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the moment where actually ABBA became Australian was when Kylie Minogue sang Dancing Queen at the at the closing ceremony of the Sydney Olympics, which is, of course, the showcase of Australian culture.
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, and here we have, a band from Sweden being, one of their songs being featured as Australian culture. So we kind of trace that story in the exhibition as well about the way, Australians really took ABBA into our own culture and made it our own.
Yeah, right. Tell us about some of the stuff that you've got in the exhibition. What some of the costumes and things like that you've got on display?
Yeah, we've got about 20 costumes, original costumes from their live performances, and also they did a lot of TV appearances. That was another mm-hmm. key to their success. So it goes right back to the original costumes that were used for their Eurovision win in 1974, Waterloo.
You've got those?
We've got those.
Oh, wow.
And we've got a lot of the costumes from the that were used for the Australian 1977 concert tour.
Oh, great.
So for those who were old enough to go to that, that'll be a trip down memory lane. But there's also some other costumes from some of the other concert tours, and there's also the cat costume, which many people will be very familiar with. It's probably one of their most famous costumes that appeared in a lot of TV appearances that they did. So a great selection of that. We've got a whole range of memorabilia. So there's a wonderful sort of original photos from concert tours and TV appearances. We've got a lot of video footage in the exhibition, not surprisingly. And also, there's a couple of recreations of significant, I guess, aspects of, their career in a way. So the Polar Studio, which is their recording studio in Stockholm, so
okay.
people can get a real sense of how the sound was made.
Hmm.
And a recreation of the Vigso Writing Hut, which was a little hut that Björn and Benny had on the Swedish archipelago where some of the famous ABBA hits were written. So,
mm-hmm.
also, there's a whole range of stuff.
Yeah, also you've got to tell us about some of the interactive things because people have been talking about the fact that you can, I think, perhaps put your face on an album cover or something like that.
Yep, absolutely. And you can perform with ABBA, with the ABBA avatars. If you've always, you know, many people performed in their bedroom with the hairbrush without you have a chance to get up on stage and actually do it with them.
Well, that was me. I was one of those ones, yeah.
Well, there you go, Katrina.
Doing the dancing queen in front of the mirror, yep.
This is your chance. This is your chance to actually do it with them on stage. So, there's a whole range of interactives. There's a mixing interactive too, so you can mix some of the ABBA tracks.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, you can get your photograph on one of their album covers. There's a quiz. Whole range of elements.
Lots of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So before I let you go, what actually, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that the exhibition covers from before ABBA to the height of ABBA to then sort of, I guess, after ABBA. Well, what did bring about the demise of ABBA? Was it to do with the relationship breakdowns between the married parts of ABBA? Or?
Look, I think That probably had a factor, but they actually never officially, you know, broke up as such, because what started to happen was that there were a range of, professional interests that each of the individuals had that they started to want to pursue. So Björn and Benny had always been very interested in music theatre and started to work with Tim Rice to develop the chess musical. And both Agnetha and Frida wanted to do some more solo recording. And in fact, both of them had released, even when ABBA were together in 75, solo albums. So it was more that they were starting to, you know, want to pursue some of their individual, you know, career things. And so they did actually start to record an 11th album, but these other projects took over and they basically never reformed.
Mm, an 11th album. Did they do that many albums?
Yeah, they did 10. And
wow, I had no idea.
Yep, they did. So, you know, it was a pretty prolific output over, you know, the 10 or so years that they were together as ABBA. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing some of the ABBA story with us today.
Worries.
And, I hope the exhibition goes really well for you. I'm sure it's very popular.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Parsons. He's the curator of the ABBA World Exhibition at the Powerhouse Museum, and it's on until March 6th. Check it out.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.